Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Today, we continue our series on the rising rates of cancer and chronic disease in the U.S. by hearing from three people whose lives have been forever changed by plant-based eating. Our guests first shared their stories on Forks Over Knives, a comprehensive website that helps people at every phase of their journeys. Forks Over Knives started out as a documentary back in 2011, and since then, the movement has grown to include four books, a mobile recipe app, a cooking course, and a meal planner. Today's guests will talk about how their lives before transitioning to a plant-based diet looked, what propelled them to make the switch, what the transition period was like, and how they are doing now. At age 32, Carlin McCarroll needed a stent, several medications, after going to the ER for pain in his upper left back and shoulder area. He had an artery blockage of 95% on a branch off the obtuse major 1 artery and had to spend a few nights in the hospital. At that time, Carlin McCarroll weighed 396 pounds. After reading the book Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease by Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, Carlin decided to try a low-fat, whole-food, plant-based diet. He has since lost 200 pounds and reversed his heart disease. Carlin McCarroll is a licensed psychotherapist who now incorporates health coaching into his mental health clinic so he can offer comprehensive support to those looking to drastically improve their lives. Hi, Carlin. Thank you so much for sharing your story, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Karen Roy. For much of her life, Karen mostly ate sweets, sodas, fast food, and other ultra-processed foods. In 2016, she was diagnosed with cervical cancer. She also dove into the work of Dr. Esselstyn and Forks Over Knives and decided to embrace a plant-based diet. A few weeks later, before she began chemotherapy, her scans showed that her tumor had already shrunk. But a year later, for a number of reasons, she reverted back to the standard American diet and was eventually diagnosed with an autoimmune disease affecting her bile ducts. She eventually got back on track and is now symptom-free. After her journey going plant-based, Karen Roy became a certified health coach and nutritionist to help people overcome chronic health issues just like she did. Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Dr. Daniel Chong. Dr. Chong trained as a naturopath in the late 90s. He spent the first 10 years of his practice following a paleo diet and teaching paleolithic nutrition to his patients. About 15 years ago, Dr. Chong decided to focus his practice on the prevention and treatment of cardiovascular disease. He also found Dr. Esselstyn's work and was shocked by the research. Dr. Chong thought a high-carb, low-fat, plant-based diet was unhealthy and even deadly. But the more evidence he reviewed, the more he saw that Dr. Esselstyn was correct. So Dr. Chong decided to go whole food plant-based for 6 weeks before deciding whether to recommend it to his patients. Within a couple of months, his C-reactive protein dropped to an undetectable level, and his cholesterol dropped to a range that would make any cardiologist think he was taking a statin. Seeing those numbers convinced Dr. Chong to commit to this 180-degree turn in his personal life and his medical practice. At Vital Health, Dr. Chong helps people prevent heart attacks and strokes while minimizing the use of drugs and surgery. Hi, Dr. Chong. Thank you so much for sharing your story, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, good to be here. Just call me Daniel.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. Well, thank you, and thank you to all of you for joining us. We started doing these shows because I sadly lost my dad to cancer a couple of months ago. And it was small cell prostate cancer, and it happened very, very quickly. My dad has always struggled with weight, and he ate a diet like you, Karen. And so in honor of my dad, I've been wanting to do these shows just to get the word out because we're losing too many people. And Dr. Chong, I want to start off with you because you are a doctor and you are helping your patients prevent heart attacks and strokes. I wonder what you think about where we are right now. The rate of cancer is rising, especially among young people, and the rate of chronic disease is rising. And yet, we have all of this information that is science-backed. So what are your thoughts as a doctor about where we are right now?
I would say in general, I feel a struggle each day I do a lot of communication publicly on social media, things like that. And the thing that stands out to me the most right now is the confusion that people have. I speak to people every week, and it seems like the confusion is growing amongst people who are, you know, motivated and trying to be healthy and trying to make changes in their lives to be healthy, and understandably going on the internet to try to learn things. And they come away confused because there's such a wide range of apparently, you know, expert opinions, and people don't know what to believe. So that's my biggest sentiment right now these days.
This is really important because YouTube has really exploded as a source for information for people. And there's a lot of great things on YouTube, but there's also a lot of misinformation out there. And there's so much health information now. After COVID, it really exploded. So doctors have their own shows. A lot of self-help people have their own shows. And every day they are spewing information about health. And so it is really confusing. What advice do you have to people who want to live a healthy lifestyle, but really don't know what to believe?
Yeah, I wish it was an easy answer, honestly. To me, the biggest challenge for people is again, that everybody that they're, a lot of people that they're listening to all have credentials, all have apparently, you know, expertise in the area that they're talking about. And yet they may be saying vastly different things from each other. And so to me, probably the most useful approach that people can try to take if they have the means and they're connected with practitioners that can help them is to whatever they decide to try to do in their lives, whether it's, you know, whatever diet they try to do or, you know, whatever their health issue is that they're trying to work on, don't make assumptions about what is happening in your body based on what you've heard happened in somebody else's body or what you heard some other expert said will happen in your body. Don't make assumptions that those things are happening.
Oh, Daniel, are you still there?
Cool. Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. Go ahead. I think we had an issue with your line. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just was saying,
I think we're having an issue with Daniel's line. We'll find out what's going on behind the scenes. Karen, why don't you jump in here? You're now a certified health coach and nutritionist. Can you talk about how you work with people who are very confused about all the information out there? What would you tell people who don't know what to believe?
Tell them to just, you know, give me a chance. And one thing that I say, or I make sure that, you know, every client knows when they come to me is that, you know, because they are confused, every single one of them is confused. You know, most of my clients have, you know, followed either a paleo diet or the carnivore diet or some form of keto. And what I tell them is because most of them simply want to lose weight. Most of them are, you know, postmenopausal, older women, or they suffer from some kind of chronic issue like high blood pressure, diabetes. And what I tell them is to focus on nutrition rather than weight loss. Because when we focus on nutrition, when we put the right things in our bodies that our bodies are craving, the weight loss will inevitably come. So we don't have to, you know, spin our wheels to count calories and count carbs and, you know, protein and all that stuff. I think that, you know, that's where a lot of the, you know, confusion comes in, because there are so many different, you know, experts, like Daniel was saying, and so many different, you know, ways to lose weight that, you know, people hear those stories of, you know, this person or that person that, you know, lost a massive amount of weight and got healthy. But what we really need to realize is that, you know, we don't see these people in the long term, what their stories actually turn out to be, you know, 5 or 10 or 15 years down the road after following a carnivore diet. So what I really tell every client is, again, follow the nutrition, put the nutrition into your body, focus on micronutrients rather than macronutrients.
Karen Roy is a certified health coach and nutritionist. What about you, Carlin? Before we talk about your story, since Daniel brought up misinformation, I think this is so important. What would you tell people about all the information that we're exposed to on a regular basis online?
Sure. I think Daniel and Karen brought up excellent points about everyone kind of having respective credentials, which really... it makes it difficult to decide which way to go, because if this person's a doctor and saying this, this person's a nutritionist and saying that, it's who do I follow? In the world of academia, what I try to impress upon people that I personally coach or that I have sessions with, mental health sessions with, is that research, not in the world of academia, research can never prove anything, right? It can only support, it can support or challenge things. For me, and the way I made my decision was all of the information that I read was so compelling and supported this idea to an extent that it was worth the try. So what I always try to impart upon people when they're reading or they're trying to figure out who to believe or which information to digest is to read as much as you can, but never take any information that you read or digest as proving or disproving anything, but rather supporting or challenging, and then use that as your first step.
And Daniel, are you back with us?
I hope so.
Okay. Yes, so. You are. You're there. Okay. So what's interesting about your story is you're a doctor and you followed the paleo way of eating when you first started your practice. You were teaching paleolithic nutrition to your patients. So can you talk about that journey and why you decided to look for different information when you focused your practice on prevention and treatment?
Sure. Yeah, I've always been somebody ever since I was in school who never settles on just what information is being told to me. And so I'm always kind of curious and actively seeking more information about things. And that's what originally led me down the road of investigating what is typically called the paleo diet, or like low carb eating, that type of thing. And it's a classic example of how something can sound very reputable, very believable, very, you know, well proven based on the presentation. And so I completely bought into that idea for at least about a decade, 10 years, both personally and, as you said, in sort of instructing and teaching my patients and doing some lectures publicly, et cetera, completely supporting that. And it wasn't really until I decided to focus more specifically on cardiovascular disease and began, you know, because of my background, interested in lifestyle medicine, started to investigate, you know, non-drug ways to prevent and treat that condition, that I started coming across this research by Dr. Esselstyn, Dr. Ornish. There's some other doctors out there who have done some pretty interesting research, and seeing their actual results that they were getting consuming a diet that at that point I thought would be completely unhealthy and not sustainable for people, that I really had to make a personal decision to sort of put down the blinders that I didn't even realize that I had up and do more of a deep dive and sort of open my mind to the possibilities of, that I might have been incorrect and that the research and information that I was looking at was not very well supported when I started to learn more details about what was, you know, what the sources of information were. So that was kind of the journey that initially started me down that path. And then the most I'll just end with the most compelling thing that has happened for me since then, which is, again, this was about 12 years ago, is seeing the effects in the patients that I work with in when they implement the types of changes that would be necessary to switch, you know, to a plant-based diet. Even in some patients who were already on what I would have considered a perfectly followed paleo style diet, they still got better in many ways objectively. So that was quite interesting for me.
That is Dr. Daniel Chong. We're also joined today by Karen Roy and Carlin McCarroll. And we are talking about their stories, really inspiring stories, talking about the life-changing impact of plant-based diets. You can read more about their story at KALW.org, click news, and then your call. If you have any questions or comments about how they did it, what the transition was like, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Also, just if you have any comments about maybe something that you have come across online, how do you determine what to believe? Because there's so much information out there about health and diet and lifestyle. Things have really changed over the past even 5 years. 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Carlin, let's spend a little bit of time talking about your story, which is incredible. When you went plant-based, you lost 200 pounds. You reversed your heart disease. I mean, this was after needing a stent at the age of 32. Can you first talk to us about your relationship to health and nutrition overall? You know, growing up and in your 20s and 30s, what was that like for you?
Sure. Well, growing up, I'm an African American male, so we culturally we don't have the best eating practices to begin with. So a lot of our I'll say cultural diseases like diabetes and heart disease is really a social construct from things that have been passed down generation to generation as normal ways of eating. So naturally, I was always an athletic kid, but I was always a heavy athletic kid. And I kind of carried that throughout. And sports, my participation in sports always altered my weight. I was a football player and a wrestler. So my focus on nutrition wasn't so much in nutrition, but more so the number on the scale to make weight. It wasn't until I had that health scare that I really honed in on my nutrition and differentiated nutrition and the scale, if you the nutrition versus the scale, if you will, that things started really driving home for me as far as health outcomes and all of the associations that I had with food that weren't necessarily healthy and all the social constructs that were unhealthy as well.
And this is really important because we are definitely going to do a show about disparities in health. And when you look at communities of color, they have higher rates of cancer and diabetes and chronic disease. Just because of historic racism and discrimination, there's just so much there. And I just wonder, how do you talk to your patients about these issues, given that, you know, every time we do shows like this, I always want to say it's not about blame. It's not definitely not about shame, because a lot of this is not an individual's fault. I mean, we've done shows about food deserts. It's hard to eat, quote, healthy, you know, if you live in a poor household or if you live in an area without a grocery store, for example. So what are your thoughts about how we should talk about those issues, given the history that's involved in all of this?
Sure. I think that you kind of hit the nail right on the head where the first and most important thing is to validate how people are thinking and feeling in it not being their fault. Because a lot of times people take the personal blame about the condition that they were raised in and the habits that they've carried from a young age, which isn't necessarily their fault. Once we get over that hump and we get over the idea that, hey, these things were handed down to you and there was nothing that you could do about it at that time. And because of that, you've developed these bad habits and these skill sets that aren't necessarily positive for you, now you have a personal responsibility once you become educated, right? Once you become educated, you know what to do, you are empowered, you have all of the necessary information to make changes. Now it's your responsibility, right? It's not so much we've gotten over it being your fault, but now it's our personal responsibility to make that change. And no one can do that but us. Mm-hmm. So that is the second part of that that we spend a lot of time on as well. So we can get those positive outcomes and try to avoid things like cancer and high blood pressure and being overweight and all of the negative associations that come with poor nutrition.
Right. And this is also so hard to do because this food is so addicting. We're going to do a show in a couple of weeks about food addiction and how to deal with this.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What was it like for you? So you weighed 396 pounds. You had to go to the ER. You were only 32 mm-hmm. years old. I mean, how scary it must have been to have to spend a couple of nights in the hospital. You found out that your blood sugar was high. Your triglycerides mm-hmm. were high. Your levels were not high enough to indicate a heart attack, but it was enough to indicate damage.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, that was difficult. Especially being so young. I'm still in my 30s. I'm in the latter end of my 30s. So it wasn't too far ago, but it was certainly an eye opener. It's, you know, how am I here? How did I get here at 32 to be battling something like, even the cardiologist and the team of doctors that were working with me at the time, they didn't want to go or say things that were related to heart because it just didn't make sense to them. You know, you're 32, it's probably, you know, so you pulled a muscle or something like that. But evidence is evidence. And so there we were. And so it was, hey, I could sit there and think about all of the reasons of why I'm here, or I could start reading right now to make a change. And that was really the catalyst for me to start making those changes, is that fear of the unknown of, okay, I've made these bad choices. I didn't expect to be here at this time. If I keep going along this path, we don't know how bad it could be after this point. So why don't we start taking personal responsibility and become educated about nutrition and become educated about the right things to do and the right choices so we can start making positive steps forward.
I mean, your story is so amazing because you followed a number of diets, including the keto diet, and mm-hmm. then you came across Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn's book, Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. You were discharged from the hospital with an appointment to see a cardiologist in a month, and you were resolved to follow this whole food plant-based lifestyle for those 30 days. And you write that as soon as you got home, you threw away all of the animal products, the highly processed foods, and you went shopping for things like fruits, veggies, and whole grains. And you were clear to walk, but you could not do any other exercise. So you ate whole food, plant-based, and walked 10,000 steps a day until your follow-up appointment. That's amazing. How did you have just what it takes to do this? And how did your family and loved ones respond?
I think psychologically, we become most motivated when we're behind the eight ball, right? When we're met with some challenge that is essentially life or death, there's nothing more motivating than that. So fortunately, unfortunately, I was in that position where I felt like if I didn't make a change, then it was death. So it was, hey, what are we going to do? So for me, making that decision was relatively easy. It was, okay, I can do anything for 30 days. I have a follow-up appointment. We're just going to abide by all the guidelines and the suggestions to get to better health outcomes for this period. And let's just see what happens. If it works, we know that we're going to keep going. If it doesn't, then we know that we have more work to do to find the solution. So that was really the motivating factor for me. My family, it was difficult because in a sense that no one really made the same change that I was making, right? This was a personal journey. Of course, I had the support of my loved ones to, you know, root me on and try to make suggestions, et cetera. But being around all the things that I grew up around and My life has been centered around, and everyone, you know, the American lifestyle is centered around poor diet, you know, eating out and all of the restaurants and et cetera. So it was difficult to have an individual perspective on nutrition outside of that social construct, if you will. And that was the challenge for me.
Before we go to break, Carlin, tell us what happened at your follow-up appointment a month after you drastically changed your lifestyle.
Sure. Yeah. At that follow-up appointment, my doctor was kind of taken aback. I had dropped roughly 30-ish pounds by that appointment time. And all of my markers that were all over the place were trending closer to the normal ranges, more so than expected. And so my doctor, you know, gave me the proverbial kudos and wanted me to keep going along my path. And he lifted my exercise restriction. So from that point, man, it was off to the races for me. I was determined and knew that I was on the right path. So I kicked things into overdrive.
And then at the 2-year mark, you lost 150 pounds, your numbers all normalized. And then you found out that there was no sign at all of cardiovascular damage.
Yeah, that was really amazing to me. I couldn't really believe that. My doctor really couldn't believe the results. And my appointments typically lasted about 30 minutes at my cardiologist appointments, where, you know, they do an ECG, you know, they do the stethoscope, the heart listen, they'd run the blood test. But I was there for about an hour and a half, and about an hour and 15 minutes of that was talking to my doctor about all the things that I was doing. And he was just really, really interested and couldn't believe the outcomes based on the nutrition changes that I was making. And one of the things that really stood out to me was he said, in the world of medicine, the world of cardiology, we would like to tell people to change their eating habits to something along these lines. We have this information, but it's so difficult in our community, in our society, to get people to abide by these. The outcomes without giving them medication prescriptions would be terrible, right? If we say, hey, go, here's what you need to do. You know, if you want to do a Mediterranean diet where you try to cut out as much meat as possible and incorporate more whole foods and vegetables, this is your plan, your medicinal plan, the outcomes would be terrible. People would be dead in a matter of, you know, a couple of years. And they know that us as Americans won't abide by that, such a drastic change, what we perceive to be such a drastic change. So therein is our medication dilemma, right? It's, do we tell people the right way to go about how to change their life nutritionally, and, you know, kind of leave it up to them whether or not they live or die, or do we make that intervention and account for that? And so that was really, really eye-opening for me.
Amazing story. Carlin McCarroll went plant-based after going to the ER. He weighed 396 pounds. He has lost 200 pounds after embracing a plant-based diet and reversed his heart disease. It's an incredible story. Carlin is a licensed psychotherapist who incorporates health coaching into his mental health clinic. After a break, we'll hear more about Karen Roy's story. After she decided to go plant-based, she recovered from liver disease. She is a certified health coach and nutritionist. And we're also joined today by Dr. Daniel Chong, another incredible story. He decided to stop eating a paleo diet and embraced a plant-based diet. He found a plant-based diet after he decided to focus on prevention with his patients. And he decided to do this for a couple of weeks before he shared it with his patients. And his C-reactive protein dropped, his cholesterol dropped, and seeing those numbers convinced him to commit to this way of living. He now runs a clinic called Vital Health. If you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. A number of our guests today found the book Reverse Heart Disease by Caldwell Esselstyn. They also found information from the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. So tomorrow we will be joined by Dr. Neil Barnard, president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, to continue these conversations. Next Tuesday, we're going to open the lines to find out what you want from Your Call this year. I know things have not been like usual because of what I've been dealing with on a personal level. So we're going to open the lines just to find out where you are in these unprecedented times and what you want from Your Call. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can email yourcall@kalw.org. Today we are hearing from people whose lives have been forever changed by embracing a whole food plant-based diet. We're joined by Carlin McCarroll, Karen Roy, and Dr. Daniel Chong. You can join us at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Karen, let's spend some time talking about your story. At Forks Over Knives, you write that for much of your life, your diet consisted of mainly sweets, sodas, fast food, and other ultra-processed foods. And after you were diagnosed with cervical cancer in 2016, you were motivated to reconsider how you ate. You know, like I said, I just went through this horrible cancer journey with my dad, and it was just devastating. And I just wonder, what was it like for you when you were diagnosed with cervical cancer, and how are you doing today?
Well, first I want to tell you, I'm so sorry to hear about your dad. That is just devastating. But for me, I think, you know, you get these like really a mix of emotions, a flood of emotions that kind of come over you whenever you get that diagnosis. And so, it was a little scary for me, but after a day or so of really thinking about it, the journey through the chemo and radiation process is fairly short, and it's a very curable cancer. It's typically not cervical cancer. It's typically not a death sentence, especially when it's found early.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that that was the case for you, that it was found early and that you didn't have to go through many treatments. But after you were diagnosed, you decided to reconsider how you eat. And just like our other guests, you dove into the research of Forks Over Knives, the Esselstyns, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and you decided to go whole food plant-based. But it was really hard for you to maintain that diet. So can you tell us what happened there? Because, you know, I'm sure this is the case with a lot of people.
Yeah. And also forgive me if my dogs are snoring in the background. If you can hear that, I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine.
It was really difficult to stick with it because, you know, being married to a meat-based eater, and my husband isn't just a meat-based eater. He's a junk food junkie, just like I was prior to going on a plant-based diet. And he travels for work, and he enjoys traveling, going on vacation a lot and going out to eat a lot. And so, yeah, it was really difficult to stick with it. It was hard because I have to, you know, cook his meals for dinner and, going out to eat, you know, whenever he would, you know, plan dates for us, anniversaries and just a weekend night out or a random Tuesday night, he would want to, you know, hey, let's go out to eat. And so, yeah, it was difficult to stick with it, particularly since I didn't see huge benefits at first. You know, the tumor did shrink, but I still went through chemo and radiation. And, you know, I didn't have a drastic weight loss because I was already thin. That was something and that was the reason why I had always eaten junk food. I never really had a weight problem. Mm-hmm. I was always pretty thin. I didn't have, you know, skin issues or, you know, anything like that. And, this was prior to being diagnosed with the autoimmune disease. And so, not having all of those, you know, drastic benefits at first, kind of, it made it difficult to stick with.
So after this happened, you experienced a lot of pain, and your oncologist told you that it would pass and your body was recovering from chemo, but you knew that something was wrong because you felt faint, you were short of breath, just doing household tasks. And after a year of different doctors and lab work, you received a new diagnosis. Can you tell us more about this? I don't know how to pronounce this. PBC is an autoimmune disease affecting the bile ducts.
Yes, it's called primary biliary cholangitis, and it is kind of a mouthful.
And so what is that exactly?
So it is just an autoimmune disease affecting the bile ducts in the liver, which is kind of difficult to explain, but your bile ducts are, I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to try to explain this the best way I can. You have bile ducts in your liver where your bile acid is produced or created. And this is what helps to move the bile out, or this is like stomach acid, moves it out of your liver and into your digestive system to help you digest food. And so when the bile ducts are being attacked, and destroyed, then it kind of messes up your digestive system. So you're unable to digest fats properly. And it causes all kinds of, you know, the autoimmune issues that typically come with most autoimmune diseases, such as joint pain and fatigue and brain fog and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And you had debilitating pain, severe dry mouth and eyes, bleeding, cracking lips, migraines. And at that point, after going to the ER multiple times, it became so unbearable, and you decided to once again embrace a plant-based diet. So what happened after you made that change again?
Almost immediately, the pain was gone. It was a drastic change. It was wonderful. I felt like a brand new person.
Wow. What did your doctor say?
My doctor's not impressed, and I'm not really sure why. I think, it's probably because, you know, the range of symptoms is different for every patient. Some patients, with autoimmune disease have little to no symptoms at all. And some have, you know, the gamut of symptoms, like all over the place and really bad. And so, that's probably why my doctor's not very impressed whenever I come in and, you know, he wants updates and I have no symptoms. He's just like, okay, cool. You know, I'll see you in a few months for another checkup.
Well, given how amazing you feel now, and now you're a certified health coach and nutritionist, has your husband changed his diet at all?
Not in the least.
Yeah,
I'm
wow.
Sorry to say. No, not even a little bit. And it's probably because he doesn't have any chronic health issues or, you know, anything like that. He does suffer from fatigue, but he also works a very physical job. And so he doesn't equate the fatigue with his diet. And, you know, unfortunately, so many people have to hit, like me, so many people have to hit rock bottom before they are willing to make any changes. And it's sad to see, you know, that we, as humans, our minds, you know, our bodies just don't want to go there. We don't want to make such drastic changes until we are hit with such a drastic diagnosis.
Dr. Daniel Chong, is that what you find in your practice, that most people have to hit rock bottom before they make these kinds of changes?
Yeah, oftentimes that is the case. Either that, or a family member had a serious situation. The most common being a parent has a massive heart attack or a stroke or something like that, and that sort of puts things right on the forefront of somebody else's brain, a son or daughter, those are the only people who I find are proactive despite not being at rock bottom. So I do think it's either one or the other typically.
Dr. Chong, we have an email for you from Cheryl who says, I just have to say, I so appreciate that Daniel fully discloses his ability to re-examine what he thought was correct information and re-evaluate it based upon new and more current understandings. That is so important in the field of medicine and biology that recommendations change as we learn, and it's okay to be, quote, wrong when new information arises. That is the essence of learning in science. Cheryl writes, thank you for setting an excellent example.
Wow. Well, you're welcome. That's very kind. Very kind.
Well, if you'd like to join us today, we are speaking with three people who have drastically changed their overall health and well-being by embracing a whole food plant-based diet. Carlin McCarroll is a licensed psychotherapist. Karen Roy is a certified health coach and nutritionist. And Dr. Daniel Chong has a telehealth clinic called Vital Human. It's vital-human.com. And they've got really amazing stories. If you have any questions or comments for them, or if you have a personal story to share, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We have an email from Mark who says, about 12 years ago, my blood work indicated high cholesterol, putting me at risk for diabetes. To lower my cholesterol, my doctor recommended I begin taking statins. My wife is a vegan, and she pointed to research indicating that a plant-based diet can help lower cholesterol. So after 4 months on this diet, along with a bit of increased exercise, I lost a few pounds, but more importantly, my blood work came back normal. I've eaten a plant-based diet ever since, and I'm much healthier for it. Here is my suggestion. To fully enjoy a plant-based diet, learn how to cook and bake. There are so many delicious plant-based recipes out there, and by learning to prepare them, it brings more joy to eating. If you can, enjoy preparing and consuming meals with friends and family. Eating is so much more joyful in community with others. Carlin, what are your thoughts about this? Because I mean, you did a major 180 by throwing away almost everything in your kitchen and buying fruits and vegetables. How did you learn how to prepare this food? What was that process like for you?
It was certainly an interesting process in that it took relearning a lot of the things that I just took for granted or just didn't put much thought into. Having the Forks Over Knives recipe book and their app that they have really was a lifesaver, literally. Anything that you, I guess, craved or typically ate, they had some type of variant of that fit within the guidelines of what you're trying to do. What I found that what we have the hardest time understanding is that it's not so much of learning how to eat that we're trying to do. That is a big part of it, but really the biggest part is trying to retrain our taste buds, right? And I think wrapping your mind around, okay, what I'm trying to do here is retrain my body and my mind, my taste buds, to find new and healthy things that are satiating to me, as opposed to the old things that were satiating to me, is going to be the biggest challenge. And if you can wrap your mind around that being the goal, it makes it a lot easier, in my opinion.
Did you also eat a lot of fast food and ultra processed foods before embracing this diet?
Not so much fast foods. I ate a lot of restaurant style foods that, you know, a lot of fried and oily things. I did have a sweet tooth for sure. So I think snacks and store-bought stuff that would be the main culprits to my massive weight gain.
Karen, what would you add for people who would just like to add more of these foods to their diet? And then the comment from Mark about really learning how to cook, because we live in such a we want it now society with DoorDash and grab and go. Mark makes a really great point about learning how to cook.
Yeah, you know, it's really something that you won't do it unless you really, really want it. Because I had to essentially relearn how to cook myself and using different ingredients and you know, even unfamiliar ingredients. And like, I had no idea what tahini was prior to going plant-based, and chickpeas, and what were chickpeas. And so, yeah, you really, the only advice I can give is to just be adventurous and to embrace it, embrace vegetables, embrace grains and legumes and things that you're not used to eating. You know, I tell my clients all the time, just try something new, you know, try like one or two new things per week. And if you, you know, eat it for a couple of, you know, a couple of weeks, you'll start to like it, you know. And if you don't, then hey, you don't necessarily have to eat it. You don't have to eat everything. But I think most of the time, if, you know, if we don't really want it very badly, we won't do it. But for those of us who do want it and who are motivated, it can be fun.
We have a number of people who've been waiting patiently on the line. So let's take a few of these calls and then we'll get responses. And if everyone can please be brief, sorry about that. Let's go to Peter.
Hello. Hello, you can hear me? I don't hear my voice anyway. It doesn't sound like I'm on the air. Can somebody hear, give me some feedback? Anyway,
we can hear you.
Okay, good. Vegan vacation. Think of it that way. You know, if you had to all of a sudden, should I live in New Orleans? It's easy. First of all, take a few weeks, go visit New Orleans. You don't have to sell your house and everything. But anyway, so like for being a vegan, it's like, why not just take a month? And that's why I like your Carlin, your guest there. Take 4 weeks and just try out a vegan. And then if you like it, then make a big switch. But you don't have to do it. It's not like selling your house and moving across the country. Just take a month, vegan vacation.
Sure, I like that a lot. I think for me it was exactly that. Just say, hey, 30 days, I'm going to fully commit to this. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But it's not the end of the world, right? It's not forever. And I think if you have the mindset that it's not going to be forever, it makes it more digestible.
Right. Okay.
I definitely agree with that, Carlin.
Thank you. And sorry about that. We had some technical issues. Thank you for that, Peter. Let's go next to Glenn in Mill Valley. Hi, Glenn. We're almost out of time, but go ahead.
Hi. I had a heart attack a few years ago, mostly from stress. But I tried to do the Dean Ornish diet, and I just found it's so intensely restrictive. And I thought some of the things were just so unpalatable. Like I find nutritional yeast to be just inedible. And so I've just modified it where if I'm having pasta, I'll have whole wheat pasta and a vegetarian or vegan sauce on it, but I'll put a little bit of Parmesan and just little things like that that I still do. Like how much benefit am I losing by cheating a little bit? And I also eat a little bit of seafood and I use olive oil.
Well, thank you for the call, Glenn, and so sorry to hear about what you've been through. I'm really glad that you're tuning in today. Dr. Daniel Chong, do you want to take Glenn's question?
Sure. You know, admittedly, one thing I've learned a lot over the years is that everybody is an individual, and some people have much stronger genetic predispositions towards some of these things than other people do. And that creates sort of a spectrum of possibilities in terms of how one person might be affected even by small changes like he mentioned. So what I try to do with people, I mean, I've literally seen some people where all of their risk markers or a lot of their main risk markers get thrown off just by adding one egg a week, whereas other people don't seem to have a system that's nearly as sensitive. So unfortunately, sometimes even small add-ons like he was describing can affect certain people negatively. And that's why I always try to have people, you know, again, not make assumptions, and we reevaluate how their body's responding. And if they add something, we say, okay, well, let's see how things look from that perspective. But the bottom line is, the more often you can, you know, what I tell people all the time is, every time you're eating, you have an opportunity to harm or heal to some degree. So whatever they're adding at one meal or another, it can have, you know, unfortunately, sometimes a pretty substantial effect. And the worse off they are to begin with, so in a situation where somebody's already had a heart attack, we have a pretty diseased cardiovascular system already. I'm just trying to get people as frequently as possible to return to the meals that are going to be promoting healing rather than harm. But again, there is some degree of individuality there. Hopefully that makes sense.
Right. And because of what tips about
I'm sorry.
Foods that he might like. We only have a minute, Dr. Chong.
Can you just repeat that? You broke up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. So we have about a minute left. Do you have any tips for Glenn to try to find foods that he might like?
Yeah. So, I mean, absolutely. What I think is the most effective approach is people trying to find recipes that mimic what people are already familiar with to some degree. Forks Over Knives is a great resource for that, because a lot of the recipes they have there are meant to be, they're meant to have foods that are and meals that are already familiar. They're just a plant-based version of that. So that would be my quick recommendation for most people, is just to try to start with things that are familiar first and then explore after that.
All right. Well, I really hope that helps, Glenn. And if you can, tune in tomorrow, because we'll be joined by Dr. Neil Barnard, president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. We're getting a lot of emails that we don't have time for today, but we will definitely bring them up on tomorrow's show. I want to thank our guests, Dr. Daniel Chong, Karen Roy, and Carlin McCarroll. They have both drastically improved their health and overall well-being by embracing a plant-based diet. You can learn more about their stories at KALW.org, click news, and then your call. Carlin, Karen, and Dr. Chan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rose. Thank you so much.
And thanks to Mari Orozco for producing today's show, and Kevin Vance for engineering our show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.